and welcome the heck back to Through Imperial Eyes. It's been a long, hot, spicy minute since we've done a thing where we sit in front of a microphone and speak about Star Wars. But hey, we're here. We made it. We're alive. Kind of. Jackson, how are you?
I'm chilling. I'm tired from work, so, you know, it's going to be a very casual, like, I'll get more into it and you'll see me, like, change, but I just got off work about an hour ago, so.
Well, what have you been up to since we've been gone for the past month and a half?
Some cool life stuff. I'm going to LA next week. A friend of ours, JJ, is putting on a play that I'll be seeing, and we've been working on a TV show that we're going to try and see if people will give us money for it, you know.
Good luck, dude.
Right, it'll be fun, but it's something we've been working on. But as for Star Wars, I'm maybe two chapters more into Shadows of the Sith since last time we've talked.
Yeah, I haven't done any reading.
I am reading the Mandalorian comics. That third one just came out.
No, very cool.
They've been good. Trying to think. Not really a whole ton. I'm still very deep in my Batman hole, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
I'm very deep in my Batman hole, but I found a nice balance with Star Wars and chilling with it. But yeah, honestly, since I've just been kind of waiting for Andor. I think it's funny we're recording for it. It's like, it's the only thing that's been kind of like exciting me lately.
I know.
A lot of news has been out, but
yeah, with D23 stuff,
yeah,
like trailers and stuff. I'm surprised that we'll get into our Andor review in a second, but I'm quite surprised that like we didn't really get any new announcements or anything.
Yeah, it was really just kind of like I think they really are just kind of hammering in like, this is what we're doing now. Like, stop thinking about the future. Like, we've said enough already. But I agree. Even just like smaller stuff, they didn't kind of hint us at things. And I think the thing too is that like the slate is so drastically different from the last time they announced stuff that there is enough mystery behind the things that they are actively working on. Skeleton Crew is one of them, you know. But yeah, it's still exciting. It's still very cool. I am excited for, we will get into our Andor review. We just haven't chatted in a minute. You know? This is us just catching up. But
for me, I've been on more of like a, I'm now getting back into a Star Wars kick, but for a while it was Lord of the Rings for a little bit because Rings of Power. And
yeah, well, I started Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I'm actually watching it for the first time, and I'm on like season 3 now. So I get like I'm deep in that, and like, you know, I'm very much on that medieval kick, and I've been watching Rings of Power too. And but I also agree, I'm also like getting back into this Star Wars and doing things with it. And
yep. And then I got tatted yesterday. I got another Star Wars tattoo. For audio listeners, you can check it out on my Instagram story for the next like 10 minutes recording this. But I might post it on our Twitter, but it's just it's Rey. It's like a traditional tattoo of Rey's hand holding her new lightsaber from The Rise of Skywalker. So pretty cool. That is pretty dope. Saw the design. The artist did a really good job. And I think it's gonna hold for a long freaking time. But that was a big ouchie. It kind of hurt.
Yeah, honestly.
But it's in like a really sensitive spot for me. For some reason, that spot's like pretty sensitive. But hey, I will suffer Star Wars.
Is it on like the side of your forearm, or is
it's
it
on
like
the
on
inside
the front
of it? So like, I don't know if you can see, but it's like
okay,
right there.
Yeah, okay, I get that. And the Vulptex is on
the Vulptex
like
is the on
full,
the outside,
the full front. Okay, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a double.
Yeah, that's a pretty sensitive area. Like anyway, so you know, I wouldn't. Rad.
Yeah.
That's where I want my Vader.
Let's talk about this freaking show, because I have thoughts. I have lots of thoughts.
Thoughts?
And we're going to talk about the thoughts. But kind of before we get into the nitty gritty, what is kind of your overall reaction so far to this show? And has it kind of, is it what you thought it was going to be?
Yes, it is what I thought it was going to be. But I am enjoying it because of that. That was kind of why I was excited for it, was that I've gone on this tangent many times before, but I'm not a big fan of, like, why make a TV show about a character I know exactly what's going to happen with. And it's
like, you're not a big fan of that notion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I know what happens to Cassian Andor. It's cool to see his arc. Like, that's totally fine. I'm not, like, I guess against it. It's just like, I'm like, it's like Rebels. Like, I would prefer this, this original character that I don't know anything about, you know, that, like, it's, you know, this different tale, because I think this show goes in two directions with it's hitting two birds with one stone of showing us, and I would say general Star Wars audiences who haven't seen things like Rebels or Clone Wars, a view into how the rebellion really, like, got itself up there, you know? Mm-hmm. And while you see that in Rebels, you don't see that in the perspectives with, like, Mon Mothma and all that. So it's really showing you kind of like the main planning floor with it, while also simultaneously showing you how Cassian Andor started as this street rat to the man who helped, like, seal and steal the Death Star plans. Like, yeah. You know, who became this decorated war hero and, like really achieved this very grand, like, crazy thing. And, like, the man dies on this, you know, this planet exploding. And it's like, from A to B, it's like, that's crazy. So I could, you know, I see the show already doing it with this, and that'll be its whole thing, is, like, you know, really progressing his arc and his character and the growth he will go through to be able to be ready to accept this. And I think the big thing about it is that it'll really make, like, his hug with Jin, like, that'll be such a powerful moment with just, like, his end and kind of his acceptance of death. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's kind of what I've found with this, has been, like, you know, to enjoy that, you know, whereas, like, going into it, it was like, I don't really know why, you know, like, it'll be fine. Like, it'll be fun. It'll be cool to see this guy do the things he was cool in the movie that he was in a lot more now. And then it was like, okay, well, you know, you'll see kind of this big grand journey that'll go on, while also showing me deeper things with the rebellion. So that's kind of my overall, like, view of it, is that, like, I'm enjoying the storytelling aspects it's going to take. It looks fantastic. It's large sets. I love the volume. I think it's a really cool technical thing. I think that Disney doesn't know what to do with it half the time. Yeah. And then you got people like Matt Reeves and Greg Fraser who know how to completely use it and, like, you know, can actually make it like an art piece, whereas, like, I think Disney's trying to make it into big sets. It's funny watching Andor and then watching, like, Kenobi and being like, oh, that is just a really big warehouse room. Like,
yeah,
like, oh, that really do just be a giant screen back there. But, like, it looks great. It's really cool. But I think that Andor's set production and it's the amount of extras and just the people doing things just is so cool to me. It felt so alive. I've seen a lot of different discourse on Twitter about, like, how people talk to each other in it and how, like, in this people talk kind of normally in it, whereas, like, in the Favreau Filoni verse people have that, like, you know, that prequel, like, Shakespearean kind of language. And it's like, you know, you didn't even realize that when you were watching, like, Mandalorian. It's like, oh, but they kind of do. It does feel like that, where it's very, like, it's almost kind of blocky, and it's like, it's not bad at all. It's just like, I've seen people talking about where they say it's bad, but I take it in the sense of, like, it's kind of cool seeing that, like, the two different sides of that, of, like, almost like homage Star Wars and storytelling Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess I don't really. It's weird because I almost thought that this show, like, when it comes to, like, the way people talk, and, like, I noticed it more in, like, a lot of those, like, blue and red officers,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, of, like, they're all, like, a lot, like, more, like, regal and, like, original trilogy feeling, as opposed to, like, the prequel trilogy kind of stuff, and maybe even sequel as well. But overall, I don't have an issue with the fact that this is about a character that like we know the fate of. I think that was kind of one of my main gripes going into this show. I think if you've listened to this podcast before, that was like always one of my main gripes is, yeah, it'll be fine, but we know he dies.
Right.
But I think this show so far, in like the hour and a half we've seen of it so far, has done a great job of showing us parts of the galaxy we haven't seen before.
Exactly.
Showing us new characters with new, you know, you could look back into like this time period in the future and be like, oh, and when this was happening, that's whenever, you know, Marva and the other dude found Cassian on that ship on Canary, mm-hmm. and like all this cool stuff. So I think this is more of just like something to give you the context of the time, I think, is kind of cool and fun. I can't wait until we see some Mon Mothma and some like State of the Galaxy stuff. And yeah, other than that, I think this is definitely the best looking Star Wars show we've gotten since the acquisition of Lucasfilm to Disney. And I definitely can tell that Tony Gilroy was essentially the ghost director for Rogue One. Because this is this is like Rogue One, the show, uh-huh. which I love. Like it's not a bad thing. And you were talking about the volume and stuff earlier. I do. So everyone who listens to this podcast knows that I'm sometimes a little crabby about the volume, but then the fact that like the selling point of this show, sometimes is that it's not on the volume. That's like a big set. Like everything sets, yeah. It kind of makes me be like, hey,
yeah,
you know, the volume's cool too.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. So like, yeah. I don't know. It's just like a lose-lose situation for me, but yeah, overall, dude, like I'm super surprised for this, like about this show, because I've been super lukewarm. Even a couple of weeks before this show came out, I was like, yeah, I'll watch it, but I think I'm just not too excited for it. I'm all in.
I think the thing is that the last couple Star Wars shows, and I'm going to outright say it, like Kenobi and Book of Boba Fett, they're good. I like them. I appreciate them. There's nothing that like I hated about watching it. But the more I think about it, the more I get this like, you do kind of ultimately, you're like, yeah, like it was fun. Like I had fun with it. Whereas like when I'm watching Andor, I am having fun. Mm-hmm. It is a good time where I'm just like, oh, you know, like none of those other shows really made me, unless it was like a cameo, and it's like that doesn't mean you wrote a good show, you know, that just means you put someone I can recognize.
Well, that's another thing, is like this show doesn't need that in
exactly.
order to,
and
to draw
I'm still
people
just
in.
Like, you know, I'm yeah, I'm pumped, I'm on edge of my couch, and
it doesn't need like the Force and like recognizable characters in order to
would be rad, but it doesn't
be cool,
need it.
But it's not something that like I feel like when we were watching Book of Boba Fett, we were just like, ooh, when's Mando gonna show up? Ooh, when's Luke gonna show up? When's Ahsoka gonna show up?
I did not feel that with Book of Boba Fett. I felt that with Kenobi, and
I don't know if I felt that with Kenobi with when it comes to like what character is going to show up. I was more with Kenobi was like, when are they going to flashback, or when is this going to happen between
be
the characters?
That would be when the characters, you know, would make an appearance. You're like, ah, oh, rad. Whereas Book of Boba Fett, like I thought it was going to be, you know, like this action pack with Robert Rodriguez on the back. It was like, I thought it was going to be these swashbuckling adventures, and Boba Fett was going to be doing cool stuff, like, you know, every 5 minutes.
And then it turned into Mando.
And that turned into Mando. Yeah. Like Mando showing up. It was cool. Like seeing Ahsoka and Luke and Mando in Book of Boba Fett. Like that wasn't the problem. It was more that it took a weird route. They just told a weird story with Book of Boba Fett. And honestly, you know what I think about like a lot. We'll go back on Andor, but I will say this. I just always like have on repeat in my head the last shot of Book of Boba Fett, where it was like the whole team of them. And it was like the family sitting on Tatooine is like panned out. And it was just like, yes, old Boba Fett had struck gold with his new friends.
Let's see where those swashbuckling adventurers will go next.
Yeah. Sorry, I got to scoot in my chair here.
No, you're good.
So, what did you... I didn't realize watching this show, that like going into watching this show, that the inciting incident would be so... It seems like a normal thing. Like, it didn't seem like it'd be too big of a deal. And that's like the inciting incident of the entire show, is whenever, like, at the beginning, he's at this brothel, this space brothel, which I didn't think we would ever get in Star Wars. I can just imagine people, like, kids sitting with their parents being like, "Dad, what's
what
a brothel?"
Is that?
Yeah. But him, like, killing these two officers outside the brothel, that was, like, pretty brutal, like, and intense. Like, this, that's one thing about this show, that, like, it's pretty, like, it takes no prisoners.
I will say to that I think that's something that we shouldn't have been surprised by. What I think is interesting, because think about, like, the first time we meet Cassian Andor, period, in Rogue One, he kills a dude in cold blood, right?
Right.
You're oh, like that makes sense. But then I think for me, it was that I didn't think Disney would pull the trigger. You know, I didn't think Disney would be as cold
dark.
Blood. It was cold blood. Yes, for sure.
I just didn't think that would be what kind of launches the show into its plot.
I kind of agree. And that's what helped me realize the whole spiel I went on about Cassian's journey, is that, like, we're going to witness this dude, like, become the person he is in Rogue One, which is, I would say, a very different person. With, you kind of see hints of it, since you know how he's going to end up, you kind of see those aspects in him now. But what I thought was interesting was that a dude that you would think is cool, comfortable, and casual killing dudes, and you witness his very first, you know, you're like, oh, like, even just right out the get-go. No, I agree. I think that's a great opening scene. Just that cold open, and just like, ooh, the officer, like, realizes that he killed him from bashing his head. You're like, I remember being just like, whoa, like, oh, that's dark. Like,
and
I,
that
you
one
know,
other
talk,
officer's
talking
like,
about
like pleading
like,
to like,
yeah,
please
like,
don't kill
we
me
didn't
too.
Do anything like talking about like kids watching that. You're like, oh, like I think I said this to Alexis, was like, Book of Boba Fett and like, oh, this is what I was going to say too. Book of Boba Fett and Kenobi and Mando are the Star Wars that George Lucas is like, it's for the kids. Like, it's for the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, the kids are supposed to like it and enjoy it. And all the cool cameos are for us that, like, are the adults that are still into it. Andor's for the grown-ups. Like, like, you got to watch that first before you let your kid watch it, too. Like, it's crazy. And they swear in it and, like...
Oh, yeah, shit is now canon.
Yeah, like, they swear in it, too. Like, this is the adult Star Wars. And, like, I'm all for that. I would love new... And I think that's the thing, too, is Kenobi should have been adult Star Wars. Book of Boba Fett should have been adult Star Wars. Mando can be kids. Kenobi can be kids Star Wars, but Book of Boba Fett should have been adult Star Wars.
I would argue that all of those things are adult Star Wars, just not in the way that Andor is adult Star Wars. But I'm going to go full Harry Styles on the press tour of Don't Worry, Darling.
It's a movie.
This TV show feels like a TV show.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it feels like it doesn't have, I don't want to say, this is the wrong word, but I'm going to use it anyway. It doesn't have the weight of it being in a galaxy far, far away looming over it. It just has like, here is a drama show that just happens to be set in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of breathes some new life into this show that like not the other ones don't have.
I am going to say that opinion will change once the Empire gets involved.
Yeah, I agree.
Because now it's only been by word, which I kind of like too. I kind of like this idea of not seeing the Empire.
It has been like quite contained compared to like Mandalorian, you're on a different planet episode.
And it's all new too.
Yeah.
That was something I said too, was like, this does not feel like a Star Wars show, which follows along what you just said about the weight of the galaxy far, far away. I definitely agree with that. And like, I think everything being new really is what plays into that, where you're just kind of like, oh yeah, like maybe that just isn't a robot. That's a droid. Like this is Star Wars. Like, oh, right.
It definitely, there are some characters, you know, like Bix and Tim, like the fact that Tim's name is Tim,
I know,
is a little bit like,
well, I mean, there's Luke.
Yeah, Luke and like that kind of thing. But it just like kind of reminds me that like, oh yeah, you can be named a normal name in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
But you know, characters like that, some like it, this wasn't often, but there were times, especially with the relationship between Bix and Tim, that I was like, I don't know about that. This feels more like an HBO show or something. When it comes, like, because they like hooked up in this show too, and I was like, I have to think on it. But like, it was something that just like made me question, like, do I like that? I don't know. I gotta keep watching.
Well, it doesn't really matter now, you know.
They
roasted and toasted that dude.
Poor Tim. Oh,
which honestly, I was kind of, I won't say upset, but I was disappointed that like they did kill him, which it kind of fits in the 3-episode movie arc, you know, really played into that. But I on the other hand wanted to explore that. I thought that was interesting because there obviously was a connection between what's her name? Is it Biggs? Is she's Biggs?
Bix, yeah. B-I-X.
Bix, that's right. I'm sorry. Biggs. Biggs is someone else.
Biggs Darklighter is from The New Hope.
But Bix, like, there is that connection with Cassian that I think would have been interesting to have her stay loyal to Tim. And Tim, you could have had a cool arc of, you know, Tim finally confessing and, like, they talk about it and, like, they kill them instead, so they never have that closure.
I think that's
and, like,
the tragic thing, though, is like
that is he true. Never that
gets
is
to,
true.
He never gets a chance to like rekindle anything with Cassian. That, it's just like screws him over and dies.
I would say that an interesting plot for me would be having Bix have to deal with that, having Bix be kind of really messed up because like she did genuinely care for Tim.
Oh, I think we'll get that,
and I think Cassian's gonna be like, hey, baby girl, like,
what about me, though?
Let me pull up. And she's like, will you stop it?
Yeah, I think, look at us making a joke out of this tragic death.
I know, a man's dead.
A man's dead and you're laughing.
You're laughing.
I think it's a nice little like duo with Bix and Cassian, and then we got Luthen in the mix which we'll talk about him in a second. But holy cow, does Stellan Skarsgård belong in Star Wars? Holy cow!
Yeah, honestly.
What do you think about our new droid friend?
I think it's funny that he sounds like Tars from Interstellar. Like, I think it's funny that it's like a dude and not like a cute little like beep boop, you know. It's just it's like a guy that just kind of also hangs out with them.
When
he's a trash can, like, no, I like him. I like that he can't lie. Like, that's a really cute thing. I have somewhat of a theory about B2. B2 will turn into K2SO. Part of B2's interface will become part of the interface that they put into K2SO to reroute him.
I think that's not something to rule out. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good theory. Because
like with the way they worked L3 into the Falcon, like it's that kind of idea that I have.
Oh, that'll make it so much more tragic when K2SO dies in Rogue One.
That's what I'm saying. Is that that they are pulling strings that is going to make Rogue One just hit even worse. Like that is the end goal. Is not, it doesn't matter about what they play, is that it's what can they do now to make Rogue One hurt worse.
Yeah,
I agree.
What do you think about our bad guy, our Timothy Chalamet, whoever this guy is?
I don't think he's gonna stay the bad guy, but I think that he is going to stay the whole time.
The reason I agree with you is because most of the stuff we've seen with him, we've seen in trailers now.
Yes,
like it's there's almost no more stuff we haven't seen with him.
Do you think he'll die?
I don't know if he'll die.
I think he's going to join the Empire.
That's kind of my thing. I think he's going to rat Cassian out to the Empire.
And I think the Empire is going to take in him and the other dude.
Yeah.
He's awesome. I don't know the actor's name, but the sergeant that.
Oh, yeah. He's super great.
You know, he's the commissioner from the Batman.
Is he?
The dude with the beard that gets his face eaten by the rats. Man, yeah. That's the same guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one, a fantastic actor, and two, I think the character is super.
It's their scene, the first scene with him when they're standing on the deck, and mm-hmm. he's like gloating the other dude, and the guy's like, "Thank you." Like their mustache banter is so funny to me it makes the comedy really work. That's what I I love that. Like that's all the comedy. That everything Cassian is just like dark and moody and.
Yeah, it's so good. And then I freaking loved old Mustache Magoo. What's his name? Chief Hine. I had to Google it. Oh, yeah.
That's a really good, like, intro scene with the both of them.
I thought it was... he was such a... Like, he didn't take nothing. Mm-hmm. He was just like, well, they had an accident and ran into the wrong person.
It's
like he's just like, it's not worth it. Who cares? It's two guys who were like, we're in a brothel anyway. They weren't supposed to be there.
Yeah,
they weren't supposed to be drinking.
It's interesting because like the lieutenant mustache bad guy is very like,
we're gonna call him Mustache Magoo.
Mustache Magoo. Okay. Mustache Magoo is very like by the book, so he doesn't necessarily take the chief like for his word when he's like, it's nothing, throw it over your shoulder. But then the chief like even drops in the irregularities of it. And it's like mm-hmm. he's still just as smart and keeping up with it and covering himself. But it's like he also understands like it doesn't matter. Don't take it as seriously.
Yeah, he's like, leave me alone. I got somewhere to be. Who cares? Uh-huh. People like, die so all the time.
Two people die. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a really interesting angle. Instead of just like, we better get every man we have to find like, this person who
like
killed two people.
Mustache Magoo is like doing this on his own. I think that will be what the Empire sees into it, is that while it was a failed operation, they're going to be like, no, you've been dealing with really heavy like stuff. Like you don't know what you're getting involved with. Come with us. We will like, you really stood out of your thing. Like come join us. Yeah. It'll be cool.
Kind of moving on here, I just kind of want to touch a little more bases of things that kind of popped up through these episodes. The character of Marva, I think, is someone who I want a whole comic series about, like her goings
on.
Like she's like this scavenger kind of.
Yeah.
Or I couldn't really.
That's kind of what I got from it. Was like scavenger smuggler.
It almost seemed like they like infiltrated that like cargo ship in order to like take the parts from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Something. Well, like that's, they're talking about like stealing core components that they can only. So I bet you they like saw it crash and they were like, go. Like the Republic's not going to be here yet, which I like that little B2 coming up and be like Republic fleet. And you're like, ooh, like, okay. Like,
I think Marva's whole backstory was cool. And her relationship to Cassian, I found extremely interesting
mm-hmm.
because she kind of has to take him under her wing. Cause she's just like, well, he's going to die and the Republic's going to like take him into custody. Like one of the two, if we don't like get him the heck out of here. And they do. And like, you know, she ends up essentially introducing him to the rest of the galaxy.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really interesting angle, which I'm not sure if where they're going with this canonically, because in the Rogue One novel, it's explained that Cassian's like his parents are separatists and like, you know, he had been in this fight since he was 6 years old, like he said in Rogue One. But that wasn't a 6 year old kid that Marva found.
I agree. And I don't know.
I'm not sure if they're just like, they just haven't gotten there yet to explain that. Or if they're just like any canon, throw it over their shoulder. Or yeah, it was kind of confusing to me, but I'm not going to worry about it until this show's like, the last page is turned.
Yeah, because, I agree.
You know, who knows what they're doing with it.
It's a good point because I have been thinking about that, but I also am just like, just watch it. Like,
yeah, at this point,
don't say anything on the internet. Just watch it.
What do you think about the planet of Canary and like the whole, you know, this Native American-esque tribe on this planet?
It's I am curious to see if we'll see more of Cassian, like, well, because they talk about like it's desolate now. Mm-hmm. Canary's like it's wiped out, so
they're
it's
like mining it for
material
now.
A mining incident. It was an accident. Something happened. So I think that we are going to. That's going to be a point. Like we'll see that maybe like maybe Cassian like hears that and he makes Marva take him, and he and they like go and it's just this wasteland. He's just like. It's like, oh no, bro. He's just like, he's like, I gotta stop this. I bet you actually that's what is like a core inspiration for him to like hate the Empire. Yeah. I don't think that they have gone into the current status of how Cassian views the Empire, because they are establishing who he was like now, like as kind of this street rat like like vibe. I think now that he is off planet, he'll see stormtroopers and be like, oh man, like I just hate those dudes. And Luthen's gonna be like, oh, what's wrong, bro? Like. Like why what's going on? And you'll see the whole, you know.
Right. Well, speaking of Luthen, I think he is a founder of the rebellion.
Yes.
And I think that he saw this, you know, this he saw something in Andor, and he was he's essentially staged this trade, this transaction. For this part that Cassian had and was like, no, yeah. I honestly don't care about that. Just come with
it's
me.
It's like, it's you.
Yeah. And that whole scene was fantastic, by the way, where they first meet.
I think it's going to take a lot of like themes and things we've seen with masters and apprentices with the Jedis is that it'll feel like one of those with how they kind of structure it, is that Luthen will be this mentor to Cassian and really shape him to be this ideal, perfect rebel spy. And it was like, you saw it in the beginning. It was just like, when did you have time to plan that? And he's like, always have your exit planned first. He was like, I've had the place rigged to blow. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I think he's definitely becoming
this teacher that it's going to open Cassian's eyes to not be as like reckless, but also have like a purpose to it.
Mm-hmm. And Cassian was talking about how like he had infiltrated the Empire before.
Like I just walked in. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, they didn't suspect anything. They're so fat and satisfied. They don't think it's even possible anybody could infiltrate their house.
Luthen knows that Cassian's capable of it.
Yeah.
He just knows that he's like a dumb kid. So he's like, just come with me. He's like, I don't care about the part. I can buy one of those myself. Like, just come with me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved that. Mustache Magoo number two on that one transport, and he's like talking to Luthen.
Commissioner Mustache Magoo.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like talking to Luthen about like he's going to work or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What did he say he does again?
It's escaping me
right now, but he's like, I'm in, I don't remember. He was like, wow, that's probably would be a job in Star Wars. Yeah, he was really interesting. I thought Luthen was gonna like try to kill him or something once they got off.
I know, I was waiting for some kind of like twist of like the old man's really like a thief or whatever. And
yeah, no, that whole moment was essentially there so they could do a little more exposition when it comes to like the planet and like the way things kind of work.
I'm sorry, I'll make this note because I had it real quick. While I like this, you know, the little mini movie and the 3-episode arc, episode 2 was not needed whatsoever. And I it was good. It just was not needed. Yeah, everything that it just kind of reiterated everything that was in episode 1 and then just set up the whole like action sequence of episode 3. So then episode 3 could be just a whole action sequence, you know?
Yeah, I didn't mind episode 2 though.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying like it was not a necessary episode.
One thing I did mind and one thing that I will say to my taste was bad, like I hated this, was the ending when Cassian's walking at the camera and you just hear this drum set.
Oh, you didn't like that? I was like, ooh,
absolutely hated that. I was
it's like, yeah, you get that money shot. Like, you get that promo shot. You threw in a nice beat to it.
No, I hated the drums. The shot was fine.
I cannot believe
that. The drums were the worst. I was like, this is not Star Wars.
Like, drums are canon in Star Wars.
It was like a freaking drum set, too.
On it.
I know. I was like, no. Please don't do this again. Because, like, music like plays such an important role for me with like the vibe of Star, with like the vibe of Star Wars, and that just like completely missed the mark.
Killed
for me.
It! Cannot believe that.
Missed the mark. But the good thing is, it just like that was the only time it happened.
I think it's because I am someone. I listen to like weird, like synth Dutch house music stuff, right? And I would love to put something like that in a Star Wars, is like just weird. Like, you just get weird sci-fi sounding music to replicate the weird sci-fi sounding music you would hear from Star Wars.
Yeah.
So like, and for me too, like when it comes to like the classical music, it's almost like I would prefer that for the episodes, you know, for like the movies, is like, that's just like, that's the music. Those are like the opera tales. And I don't know. I liked the drums. I thought the drums were fun.
I did not. So
that's funny. Well,
do you think that we will see Vader at any point in this show?
No, I think we'll see the Emperor.
You think we'll see Palps?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I think we'll see him in like a Senate hearing.
Oh yeah, we do have that kind of stuff.
I think we'll see him in the Senate hearings. And if Vader's there, Vader's standing next to him, but I think we'll see him in the Senate hearings.
Yeah, I think if they do, it'll be like not even a glorified cameo.
It'll
for,
be like,
for Vader.
It'll be like a weird de-aged like Palpatine, where he's like,
oh god,
he's gonna be, it's gonna be how he looks in that Rebels scene. Remember when he like holograms to Ezra and he doesn't look like Sidious? He's
he's
like the Emperor. Yeah, he's got like the gold cloak on. I think we'll see something like that, maybe.
Oh, that would be cool.
And it's like a hologram,
a different,
you know,
take.
Yeah, I think that's something that we would see. And
yeah,
if that is the case, like Vader's just like standing off to the side, like
peace sign up. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm about to go to Mustafar after this. I got some babe waiting for me.
Yeah. I got to soak in the,
she's
in the back
made
to
of
take.
Lava.
Are there any like characters other than Palps and Vader that you foresee showing up as just like a little nod to like, there you go, I know you watch Star Wars.
Hera. Maybe. Well, it depends on timelines.
Well, okay.
Because Hera,
I saw this post from a very non-reputable source. And I don't think this is true at all. But it says cameos to be most expected from Andor is some dude named Tom Ellis playing Kanan. Bryce Dallas Howard playing Hera, which is a good casting. I don't think we'll see it. Carl Urban playing Zeb. That would be cool.
Would be funny.
The dude from Supernatural and The Boys. Playing Agent Kallus.
That's just good casting.
That is just good casting. And then people are expecting, like, you know, Tem as Commander Cody, Grand Inquisitor. I mean, there's so, like, this is just, again, super non-reputable, probably not going to happen at all.
I actually wouldn't think for any of those. I would say if you get one of the Ghost Crew, it's Hera, just maybe as, like, an early talks with Fulcrum, because wasn't she the one that was, like, in with Fulcrum the whole time? I had to rewatch Rebels of how soon after, because it is 5 years. Okay, so it is timeline. Okay, so yeah, so I hold by that Hera could potentially show up. I think Bail Organa is a given. I think Bail's got to be like at least in the first scene with Mon Mothma. That would make complete sense to me. I would be genuinely surprised not to see Bail in Andor at all.
Yeah, they're like way
like
super tight knit.
They did it together. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a good bet. I think it would be cool to just like see some really dope Senate stuff in like Tarkin. Senators and characters.
I think we'll see Tarkin.
You know what they got to do?
I think we'll see Tarkin.
I don't think that's not a possibility.
I think we'll see Tarkin.
I think it'd be amazing if they brought back George Lucas's character. from Clone Wars and Revenge of the Sith.
That'd be so funny, actually.
How funny would that be? They would never.
That'd be so funny. I hope he's in the Senate scenes. same with E.T.
Yeah, E.T. I wouldn't be surprised.
That'd
if like
be so funny.
Just like in the corner of a shot somewhere. Yeah. Like you have to look for
You're
it.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
I agree.
But do you have any just like final overall thoughts that something we didn't get to discuss or anything?
I think we cut every corner that I've been thinking of. I don't think there really was anything else. Ultimately, I am having just a lot of fun with it. And I think that I was going to have like important brain on to like watch it and have to really pay attention to everything that's being said. But like, I'm actually really having just like kind of dumb fun with it, but it is still like, I'm not saying like the other shows were dumb, but like this does feel smart, you know, mm-hmm. This feels like it's going to subvert my expectations in every which way and always kind of guide me in a direction I'm not going to understand. And that's a blast. I love that. That's just good TV. It's a TV show, you know.
It just God. Really feels like
it just
a TV
feels like a
TV.
I'm seeing that movie tomorrow. So
I saw it.
oh no! Don't tell me a single
on
thing
on Friday. I'm not going to tell you anything. You just got to see it.
I just know I have.
One thing that I did that did happen, and I don't know if this was because of my TV. I don't know if this is because Disney Plus was being weird, but I found it almost difficult to hear the dialogue at some points in this show. So this was the first time I have ever willingly watched something with subtitles. I had to turn on the subtitles because there was a point where I was just like, I don't know what they're talking about.
I always have subtitles on.
I never
on,
do.
So,
and this was the first time I had ever willingly turned on
so
subtitles.
I couldn't hear it. I didn't notice it whatsoever.
Yeah. There was literally a point in which I was like, I don't even know the conversation they just had. So I had to turn it on.
This is off topic, but it's just a thought I popped with that. I actually want to know your opinion. I don't like the title card. I don't like how
I found myself skipping over it at the first time.
I thought
like,
it was cool the first time. I was like, that's a neat intro. Then they did it the other two. And I was like, okay, well,
it's long. It's what it is.
It is long.
We just need to see the letters pop up.
It's
kind of
Star Trek-y. There's something about it that it doesn't feel like Star Wars.
But they have like this 15-second like push through space before like the letters start appearing. And it's like, what are we doing? Why are we spending so much time?
Yeah, it feels like that.
But again, super nitpicky. Doesn't even have anything to do with the show. But I do agree. But other than that, before we get out of here, is there any other things that you hope to see, expect to see going forward in this show?
No, I can't say that. Sorry. No, I can't. I won't say that one. That's bad words. I'll tell you after the recording.
Okay. So there's nothing you hope or expect to see except for
the
thing
you're about to say. I'm just having tons of fun. Like, I am
just chilling. I'm enjoying the ride.
I hope I was going to say something, but also didn't happen. I think it would be cool. They wouldn't do this, but I think it would be cool if like offhandedly we see like Galen Erso. Or
that's actually that's
like
not
that.
That's probably or like an Orson Krennic. Like I feel like those are also givens that like, you know, I was talking about Tarkin. We'll probably see Ben Mendelsohn pop up just to be fun with it. That like maybe it's not even with Cassian, but it's like maybe Krennic's at like a gala. You know, we've seen scenes of like Mon Mothma at parties. I think we, you know, get some kind of scene with Krennic or Krennic and Tarkin are there. And yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Or Galen would be cool too.
Yeah, I think all of that is quite possible, quite operational.
Well, cool.
But hey, look at us. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Well, that is our thoughts and opinions and review, spoiler filled, of the first three episodes of Andor.
Yes, Andor.
I freaking love this show. I love Andor. I think out of all of the Disney Star Wars shows, I think this is probably, I think it's up there with Kenobi. I think it's on, for me, on the same level as Kenobi. I think it's on, it's above Book of Boba Fett and Mando.
Oh, you're reading. This is to me. Mando.
Mando all the way. Like,
you're Mando over Andor?
Mando all the way. Like, you gun to my head, if I had to watch one for the rest of my days, it would just be season two of Mando. Like,
okay.
Yeah, that is just like, for me, that like solidified like Star Wars TV. Mando all the way.
Cool. Anyway. Well, anyway, look at us. How do we outro? Do we outro anymore? I don't know.
Look at us. Editing the recording just into cuts.
Do we even know? All right. How do I stop press the play button? but if you would like to find us anywhere on the interwebs, you can always find us on Instagram at Through Imperial Eyes Pod, Twitter at Imperial Eyes Pod, and YouTube is just Through Imperial Eyes Podcast. We haven't uploaded in like 6 months, so good luck.
Because we're just so busy.
Yeah. Jackson, where can they find you?
Just follow me on Twitter. I'm at Quacks and Scaling. It's Quackson. Scaling like the triangle. You're like, which triangle? Brayden, what about you?
A scaling triangle. You can always find me on Instagram at Brayden Ledbetter, on Twitter at Brayathlon, and see what I'm watching and reviewing over there on Letterboxd at B Ledbetter, and check out what I'm doing at my day job over there at Vet19 on YouTube. And other than that, please make sure to check out all of our Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever else we're on, Overcast. Leave that rating and review. Really lets us know that you like or dislike what we're doing, and it just helps out the show in general.
Should I plug my job in our outros? Go shop at a Goodwill.
Go shop at a Goodwill, bro. we might be back at some point in the future. Who knows?
We want to. We're just, you know.
I don't think people understand how long it took us to like get this episode.
Listen, we'll do it for our sake.
Yeah. At this point, we're just doing this when we feel like it.
Which, like, is okay. Like,
or, like, when we're both not busy. Well, because it took us a week and a half to get this episode scheduled to, like, record.
Okay, we're going to end this. They don't need to hear this.
Okay, well, until then, whenever you hear us next, may the Force be with you.